Their philosophical interests included epistemology, how do we know what we know? Language, how does language operate? How do words come to take on their meaning? How the systems of language developed? Geometry, astronomy, biology. All these areas are part of the sophistic enterprise. But most particularly, and this is what really stuck in the popular imagination, the two areas that the sophists were most associated with were rhetoric, training people to speak, and because that training is usually used by the elite, the political class, it means upper class education, and heuristics, the study of argument. How do you prove your case against someone else? Again, something which in its applied form would operate in the law courts. So rhetoric and heuristics, public speaking and argumentation, are the two areas with which the sophists are most associated, at least in the popular mind of the rest of the Athenians and the Greeks. So these men were professionals. They actually charged. The best-known example, of course, is Protagoras. We have a wonderful dialogue about Protagoras written by Plato, and in it you see him gently teaching, either by telling stories or by asking questions, a group of students who've paid money for this. They're tolerated in Athens, and most of these sophists end up coming to Athens, since Athens has become the intellectual centre of the Greek world. But they're particularly associated with the upper classes because the activities that they teach are those used by the upper classes and because it takes time and money to attend their classes. So by the rest of the Athenian population, in the rest of the Athenian population, we actually see quite different attitudes. And if we look, for example, at Aristophanes' play, The Clouds, what we see there is the sophists being held up to derision. So for many Athenians, as it reminds me really of the lecture that we had a few days ago about sexuality, where I tried to point out that there was a range of opinions and one cannot speak simply about the Greek attitude towards homosexuality. Here too, we cannot speak about the Greek attitude towards the sophists. Socrates came from the same intellectual milieu that produced the Ionian philosophers and the sophistic movement as well. He's an Athenian living in the latter part of the 5th century, trained in these earlier Ionian traditions, but also meeting and being trained by sophistic educators as well. And in fact, his own teaching really reflects something of both of these earlier traditions. He seems to have originally been trained in speculation about the natural world. We have some references to his early education. But the mature Socrates that we know from the Platonic dialogues is almost exclusively concerned with moral philosophy. So he's moved away from that earlier Ionian interest into the question of what's the right way to live, and particularly, what is the nature of goodness? That became the compelling question that Socrates attempted to answer. We also know that he attracted a circle of followers, and in this respect he looks like a sophist because he has adherents, men such as Critias, men such as Plato and Xenophon. Now, the fact that he has adherents makes him seem like a sophist. On the other hand, there's no evidence that he ever charged, and his defenders will stoutly maintain that he never accepted a cent for his teaching. He never seems to have offered formal lecture classes. And so in that respect, he's actually quite unlike a sophist. He wrote nothing, like some of the most influential characters in human history, like Christ or like Buddha. He appears to have had a philosophical system, but he actually wrote nothing himself. And in addition to that, he seems to have resisted formulating a coherent philosophical system. In other words, he did not offer precise guidelines to his students as to a way of seeing the world in the Socratic style. Socrates, unlike the Ionian philosophers and the sophists, however, was an Athenian. This is an important point because we actually know about details of his career as an Athenian citizen. He fought in the Athenian army, he served on the council of the Athenians, and in that respect he's very much unlike either of the earlier philosophical traditions. He is a citizen in this democracy as well.